Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we're talking about the WNBA, which came out in 1996. It's an action slash comedy commissioned by Kathy Engelbert. This starred Paige Beckers, who played Wings Guard, J.J. Quinterly, who also played Wings Guard, Lee Yeru, who played Wings Center slash Deep Three. Angel Reese played Sky Forward, and Rebecca Allen played Sky Guard. The summary of this one is that a byproduct of feminism, the 12th of 13 Dallas Wings, who are 6-14, took on 11th of 13 Chicago Sky, who are currently 5-13, in what looked like drunken toddlers learning how to walk. Despite Lee Yeru's best efforts, J.J. Quinterly and Paige Beckers were committed to losing by going 5-14 and 5-20, respectively. Rebecca Allen from Sky Crew had a stellar game, going 5-7 from the three-point line. They're 5-7 from the three-point line with 27 points. And Angel Reese had a double-double, but that seemed easy considering this game saw more bricks than a chimney sweep. I've personally witnessed better basketball at Belfield, and if producer Braden were to play in the next game after working a hot summer's day, he'd likely have one of the best stat lines, and he wouldn't even need to stretch beforehand.
Okay, well, I think that was a little more negative than I would have gone. But
only up from here.
You know, that was sort of, I mean, you know, some of those points were correct, I guess. Yeah, so, I mean, to be clear, so what we did last night was we watched a WNBA game between the Dallas Wings and the Chicago Sky. And we're going to discuss it and maybe some broader things about the league in general, it sounds like.
I think so, wherever the conversation takes us.
Sounds like you had some thoughts about that. So, yeah, let's get into it. Where do you think we should begin?
I think we should start in the middle. Okay. Specifically, 7 years after the WNBA began, in 2003. Okay. Because that's an important year. I think that's the year LeBron got drafted.
Yep.
And it's also the last year that I played any sort of organized basketball.
2003?
2003, yeah.
So you, okay.
Yeah, sometime in middle school, I stopped playing. I would foul out regularly, because that's around the time that, like, your size is no longer, or your height is no longer the advantage, because, like, people are catching up.
My height has never been an advantage.
And skill tends to, like, take over at that point. Mm-hmm. So if it's not brute force, then, you know.
Well, that might have been a youth.
I would foul out in the first. It was bad.
Because you're what? You're like 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah. I just didn't understand, like, it was supposed to be somewhat of a contact sport, but then, like, I don't know, you'd just be standing there and people would dribble into you and then they'd call a foul on me and I'd be like, what the fuck? He came to me.
I've had that problem specifically, like, not in organized basketball, but in, like, pickup basketball, where, like, just being a large man, people would, like, run into you and, like, bounce off of you, and their, like, takeaway would be, like, oh, you're playing very aggressively, and you're like, I'm almost standing still. I am very bad at defense. Like, so I'd feel like I was in a situation where, like, I would barely play defense, get called out for, like, not playing defense. But also, everyone who bumped into me would act like I was trying to murder them, because I was just larger in size than they were. And I imagine this is exacerbated for you, who is, you know, sort of a large man.
Yeah, so I would treat it like, I don't know, wide receivers versus corners in football. You know, that first 5 yards, you're allowed a little contact.
You would jam them up.
That's how I would treat all of basketball. I would never break away into that post 5 yards sort of running alongside.
So were you doing like a full court press?
You know, just as soon as they stepped across the half court line, because that was like when we were on defense, you know? Until that point, we were on offense. And then they had the ball and they were on our side. So,
well, usually what side whether you're on offense or defense is dependent more on who has the ball rather than what side you're on.
Yeah. But if they, like, never had the ball in my half of the court, I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't approach them, you know? And I'm not a fan of the full court press.
Okay.
Yeah. Next point. This is going to be wild, but there are some people that cite the patriarchy as the reason There are no what?
Which people?
I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna call, name names. You know.
No, but which like have you met a real person who did this, or is this just like a hypothetical person?
Nope, met a real person.
Because I've never met a person who actually thinks this.
All right, well, let me get it out. There's some people that cite the patriarchy as the reason there are no women in the NBA.
Okay.
I Googled and I tried to find a rule that explicitly forbid women from participating.
No, women are allowed in the NBA.
Women are absolutely allowed in the
NBA. Women have been drafted to the NBA.
Yeah, Lucia Harris or something. But I think there is a rule for the WNBA that men can't play.
Well, it's the Women's Basketball.
Yeah,
National Basketball Association.
I also have heard that to allow a woman in the NBA would dismantle the fragile male ego. Like, there's a whole cover-up going on. And that they'd have to rewrite the rules for how to accommodate a female player. And I don't know why I didn't probe on that. But I'm thinking because, like, they have boobs and they don't know how to deal with, like, contact with tits. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think you're speculating. I don't think that's... Who thinks that... What rules will they need to rewrite?
I don't know. I didn't ask. But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, like, do you think if a woman... Let's say there's a woman and she is better than every basketball player to have ever existed.
Okay.
What are the chances that she's playing in the NBA?
100%.
100%.
Yeah, no, they're allowed to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
That was always allowed, and they get paid way more money in the NBA. So if you know that person, she should go play in the NBA. She'll make... Have you seen the salaries in the NBA recently?
They're outrageous. I mean, professional sports are outrageous.
No, but, like, football is like, okay, these guys get murdered, and, like, they'll do it for a couple million a year. Basketball, it's up to, like, $60 million a year for the top end. I think Devin Booker just signed a deal 2 years, $145 million. And that guy is, like, okay. He is, like, he is not a top 10 player. And he just got $70 million a year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, how many years was Shohei Ohtani's for $700 million?
Oh, I don't know. That's baseball. Baseball's like a fake thing, though. I assume there's one just money laundering or something. No one watches that.
Yeah, okay. So, the best player in the WNBA.
Shohei is, like, maybe the best player in baseball, right? Or he's one of the... Right?
Correct, yeah. I think wins above replacement, he's number one.
Right, it's like him. Aaron Judge is also really good, right? Like, I don't know a lot about baseball, but those are, like, some of the top guys. Right?
Yeah, I mean, from a batting perspective, I think Aaron Judge might be number one and Shohei might be number two. But also Shohei's, like, the number one pitcher.
He's, so, like, a pitcher, like, too, right? He's pretty crazy, right? I don't follow baseball, so I don't know a lot of it. But, like, Devin Booker is maybe, like, the, I don't know, 20th best player in the league or something. You know?
So everyone, like, everyone I've heard of, Kawhi, Luka, LeBron, all are making more than that?
I don't know. I think that might be the biggest contract recently, because it was, like, the most... Basically, whoever, like, signs the most recent contract is going to, like... reset the entire the thing, basically.
Setting,
like,
a new floor?
Not like setting a new floor, but it's like, since the salary caps keep going up, like, whoever signs the most recent extension is the one who's, like, making all the money.
Oh, I see. Just because there was an increase to the budget.
Yeah, and just, like, the max gets higher. And basically the best player on every team is basically going to make the max, because the top players are, like, underpaid from, like, a value point of view, because, like, you can't really fairly value, like, how good LeBron was for so many years compared to, like, the 20th best guy, because they're basically getting paid the same. So you have, like, a pool of players who ends up getting, like, overpaid in the relative sense. And then guys like LeBron, who, if you were to, like, fairly value, I mean, not current day, but, like, when he was, you know, the definitive best player in the league, you know, could have been getting $100 million a year, and it would have been, you know, relative to the rest of the league, it would have made sense.
So it seems like, based on what you're saying, that the players have an incentive to actually band together and say, we want the salary cap to go away.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because they're currently undervalued, and the only thing holding them back is this arbitrary salary cap. Let's just add $1 billion to each team's salary cap, and or we'll just, you know, multiply all of them by five and then the players will finally start getting paid what they're actually worth. And they're already overpaid.
Well, it's worth in the relative sense. The maximum contract size is different. The players get a percentage of revenue, I think, in both the NBA and the WNBA.
Okay.
And I think in the NBA, it's 51% of revenue. And I think actually revenue fell short of what it was expected this year. So they actually had to like roll some of it back because apparently some of it goes to like an escrow fund. It's all pretty goofy.
Okay.
So the point is we should probably get back to the game, but these guys make a lot of money. So if you are a woman who's extremely good at basketball and you want to be like a trailblazer, definitely see if you can play in the NBA because they make tons of money. Is what I'm saying. Or the MLB, it sounds like. Maybe you can swing a bat. Yeah. You'll be set for life.
Yeah. Okay. So. Good to know. Thanks for clearing that up. I mean, if Devin Booker were to play in a WNBA game, yes. how many points do you think he'd get?
Devin Booker? I mean, I think Devin Booker once has 70 points in an NBA game. I mean, he's very good. So, I mean, he could probably put up as many points as he wanted, I guess.
Okay.
It would depend on the team's game plan, but I don't think they have, like, the capability to, like, slow him down, really. Because I think Devin Booker's fairly large, too. I don't think he's not a big man. He's a god. I believe he's a god. I think he's a shooting god.
Yeah, but, like, the smallest guy in the NBA is, like, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
I think the NBA average is now 6'8". But I don't know what, like, the small, like, literal smallest person is. I think there was there's a guy, Yuki, who is, like, sort of an end-of-the-bench player. And I think he is maybe, like, 5-something. He looked pretty small. But I don't literally know what the small, like, who the smallest player is.
So I looked at the rosters of the Dallas Wings and the Chicago Sky, and I think the tallest was like 6'7", maybe? There was one 6'7", a couple 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, Lee Yarua seemed like she was 6'7".
And then there's a couple that are just over 6 feet, and I mean, the J.J. Quinterly was 5'8", but the announcers throughout the game were like, yeah, she's billed as 5'8", but like, she's probably only 5'5".
Yeah,
and they were joking about how whenever they were playing, they were also billed as 5'8", but they're only 5'5".
Yeah, I think it's fairly common for like the players to be listed at something close, but not quite right. And in both the NBA, and it sounds like the WNBA sticks to that also.
Really? They just take a WWE approach? Be like, oh yeah, The Undertaker, he's 7'6".
I just think they're like not super strict in the measurements. I don't think they're necessarily like all higher, but I think some of the shorter guys build themselves like a little taller, and some of the taller guys, like, say they're below 7 feet. Some people like, but there are some people like 6'11" who like pretend to be a 7-footer because just like the term 7-footer becomes sort of like a thing. So, you know, I think there's like a little bit of just making stuff up sometimes.
Gotcha. I did notice that many of them didn't list their weight, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, so I found when I was trying to look at it, a lot of them didn't list their height or weight on their player profile. So I had to like, I just Googled it and was able to like find roughly, because I saw it was a J.J. Quinterly. She was really like taking the lead early in the game. You know, she was like, and she looked, you know, pretty small. And I think it said she was the one who was billed at 5'8". And the announcer seemed to think was even smaller than that. The guy, Yuki Kawamura, I think is his name, who is a rookie this year, I guess, he's 5'8". And he might be the shortest person currently in the NBA.
Okay. Yeah. So, what are the differences between the NBA and WNBA? I mean, the quarters are 10 minutes instead of 12, the three-point line's slightly closer, right? The ball, I feel like I've seen a women's basketball, and it's, like, visibly smaller, but apparently the circumference is only an inch less, and it weighs 2 ounces less. So, like, maybe the balls that I've thought have been women's basketballs are just, like, youth basketballs or something?
Yeah, it could be that, right? I mean, because, you know, I think at different levels they would have smaller balls. So it might be that you were, you know, you had, like, a high school women's ball, you know, might have been smaller or something.
Gotcha.
Because apparently the ball's, yeah, it's pretty similar, right?
Yeah, that seems indiscernible. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't think I could tell the difference. 2 ounces and an inch in circumference? That's a third of an inch in diameter? Yeah, I don't think I could tell the difference. But yeah, I also researched that the WNBA team values are between 55 and 140 million. And then I couldn't find good statistics on this for like how viewership compares between the NBA and WNBA. But I think I was surprised at how high the viewership was for the WNBA.
I think it surged a lot in the past year since Caitlin Clark entered the league, specifically.
Yeah, and then I think I saw whenever she was out, it decreased by 50%.
Yeah, she's been injured recently. I think she actually just came back last night in a different game, not the game we watched. But yeah, so you know, it seems like it's pretty superstar dependent.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. For this game specifically, Shimmy Miller and Lisa Byington were calling it. We also got a heads up that they were going to retire number 14, Allie Quigley, at halftime. But then they just sort of jumped right into it. Like, there wasn't any pageantry or walkout. There wasn't any, like, starting lineup calls. They just sort of, like, came from the locker room and then just started playing. And I don't know if it's because the game wasn't broadcast until exactly 8, and they had done that at 7:45, and I just didn't see that.
Yeah, but it does seem like, because NBA games usually start later than they're like supposed to, so maybe these just start on time, and while they do stuff in the arena, it's not, they don't give them the extra broadcast time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the program said it was going to be 8 to 10, and approaching 10, I was like, I don't think they're going to be getting it done in time. Hopefully they let them just go over.
I don't think they're going to get it done in time.
Otherwise, they're not going to know how this fucking thing ends. What are they? Yeah. But yeah, one of the first things I noticed, they don't jump for rebounds. They just sort of like, they box out appropriately, and then they just sort of put their hands up and try to grab them. Did you notice that?
Yeah. That, I mean, that's common in the NBA as well, right? They're not always going to be jumping for the ball. It's going to depend on, the positioning, right? Like, I mean, Jokic, who's, you know, a very good player and is, you know, is among the rebound leaders, is like well known for just not jumping at all. And then you do have guys who, you know, get the contested rebounds, who are known for just having great timing on the jumping. So, you know, I think it depends on like the quality of player and like the specific style of player as well, right?
Okay. Quinterly, early on, you said she was taking charge, or I'm not sure how you phrased it, but she kept like driving,
yeah,
which was good. But then as soon as she got under the rim, she would just do this no-look, throw the ball up toward the rim. And was she trying to draw a foul? Like, she wasn't even looking at the fucking hoop.
Do you look at the hoop when you do, like, a layup, usually?
I think so. What else are you looking at? The defender?
Just looking ahead, like, trying to make your way around the defender. Yeah, I don't think I, like, would look at the hoop when I'm shooting. I think it's, like, one of those. I mean, I'm not very good at shooting, so. Yeah, maybe we found a problem. But yeah, I don't think you need to like look at the rim as you're doing it. A lot of times you're trying to like work around the defender, and like you're just aware of, I mean, there's not like the rim's moving, so if you have like that spatial awareness, you just like know where it is.
Yeah, but I think like one of the second, it was the second or third one, it hit the underside of the rim and just bounced straight down toward the floor.
Yeah, so she didn't quite have that awareness that we were hoping for.
Yeah, so I thought maybe to improve her game, she should begin trying to look at the backboard.
Could have looked at the rim, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think the through line of this game was the wing shot very poorly. They shot 36%, 27 of 75, including 29 or 27% from three, compared to about 50% from the sky. So sort of unsurprising that the sky came out on top given those numbers.
I mean, the first quarter, I'd say each team was equally bad, right? Because it was just brick from side to side of the court. And then yeah, in the second quarter, the sky sort of got it together, but the Wings just never got it together.
Yeah, so I mean, it ended up being, what, a 11-point game. 7 points of that, you know, differential were in the second quarter. So that's when the sky just took a lead and just held on to it for the rest of the, you know, they outscored them by two in the second half, but it was mostly that second quarter that they really got into trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Allen had a good game.
Yeah, they were called her Beck Allen. This is so. I think it's worth talking about the broadcast a little bit
because Shimmy and Lisa.
Well, I don't know that. Well, those are the broadcasters, but the quality of the play, notwithstanding, the quality of the broadcast was, I thought, kind of terrible.
It was so bad.
Like the announcers seemed like they knew these people really well, but like barely knew what was going on.
Yep.
One of the comments they made early on, I think it was like the first thing, right after they said they were retiring Allie Quigley's number, they said, Elizabeth Williams brings skill in production. So like, yeah, okay. I mean, that's very vague. That's everything, basically. And then they had, when they had the retirement ceremony, they just like let people get on the mic and sort of like dick around.
It was so long-winded. It's like, yeah, if you're accepting an award, just get up there and say, thanks, it's been a blessing, love you all, the fans, really appreciate it, love this organization, see ya.
Well, so they had her like wife come on, they had like the team owner come on, and he was just like, you know, no one wanted her when she was in the league, but we did, and it was good, and she was so good, but like no one liked her, no one liked her, but he was just like, yeah, she was thrown out with the trash. It was like, I feel like he's kind of like roasting her, like, you know, this isn't like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we were so blessed, like, that she fell to us because, you know, no one had realized her potential until, you know, it was just like, yeah, no one wanted her, she was trash, and then it was really good. Yeah, I don't know. It was sort of like, you know, you're retiring this, like, you wanted to honor this lady. Like, you chose to do that. Like, I don't know. Hype her up more. Like, you know, like, I don't know her. I'm not, you know, it's like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but, like, you guys were the ones who threw this whole ceremony. You might as well, like, you know, take it a little seriously. And they were just, like, not about that life, so.
Yeah, this is the Chicago Sky's first retired number. She played from 2013 to 2022 with Sky.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think it's too soon, 3 years after, to retire the number?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have any retired numbers, so it seemed like they were just looking for something to do.
Why is Lisa Leslie's number not retired league-wide? Like, is she not the Wayne Gretzky of the WNBA?
I mean, it's very rare to retire numbers league-wide.
Sure, but I think every sport has done that. I don't know if that's true for NFL.
I don't think basketball has, have they?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I think the Heat retired Michael Jordan's number for some reason. Just in, like, a real cornball move. But I think, like, maybe is Jackie Robinson's number retired?
Yes.
Is anyone else, though?
There might be another. Hank Aaron, maybe?
I mean, that seems like a specific thing rather than, you know, it's not like it was just because Jackie Robinson was a really good player. It was sort of like a historical, you know, color barrier thing, you know? It's
yep.
I mean, it's not like Lisa Leslie was, you know, I don't know, that same type of, I guess, trailblazer. I mean, maybe she, I don't know. I won't pretend to know a lot about the history of the WNBA. So. Yeah, so I feel like the production, like, really let them down in a lot of ways. Like, they really, like, I was trying to, like, learn more about, like, they didn't even show a lot of stats. They repeated, Beck Allen apparently averages over 10 points a game against Dallas. They mentioned that line literally three times. They didn't give me any more information on, like, is it 10? Like, why not show the stat on the screen? It was literally through the announcer must have had a note on her, like, pad that said over 10 points a game against Dallas. It had no other information. Like, yeah. So she just kept referencing it.
No, the broadcasters, it was confusing because they would say things and I'd be like, I don't think that's what happened. And I'm not like, I'm a fish out of water with basketball, but like, I'm fairly certain that's not what just happened. And then I'd like rewind it and watch it. And I'm like, yeah, they have no fucking clue what they're talking about. They don't know what's going on in the game.
Yeah. And they like, at some point they basically did, I guess, Angel Reese released a new shoe. And they did like a shoe ad, like during the, not like they cut to an ad. It was just like the announcers were like, yes, the diamond dust shoe. It takes pressure, polish, and time to make a diamond, much like the diamond dust shoe and much like her career. And I was just like, are we just reading? Like, did you get like the flyer for the shoe? Like, what is happening here? I don't actually watch a lot of NBA games, and I definitely never have the broadcasters on. Like, I'll watch the game muted if I'm going to watch them. So maybe we'd have to ask producer Braden what the broadcasters are like. But these broadcasters were just like completely selling them out. And it was, and then when they were doing the retirement, they had like the retirement ceremony was really weird. We can maybe start in the middle because this was at halftime. And the wildest thing is like, this was so long. Like, people complain about the NBA and the NFL being so long. And it is. Like, they just drag ass so much. This one also did, too. I feel like if I'm, like, you know, and I think when we used to go to the arena football games, one of the things they did was, like, kind of move it along. You know, there wasn't a lot of downtime. You'd, like, be in and out in, like, you know, an hour and a half type of thing.
Okay.
But in this, it was just, like, it was the same length. It was, like, just improve upon, you know, some of it, right? We had to, like, wait forever. So I didn't realize the lady talking was, they're like, oh, we're going to bring in, they brought over this lady. So they had Ellie Quigley and they had some other people talk, you know, sort of hyping her up as they were doing this retirement. And they bring in this lady who's on crutches, is in a jersey, right?
Vandersloot.
Yes. And who, you know, has a different last name. Eventually they like tell us that's her wife.
Yeah.
Which, like, fine, but they, like, you don't have that context going in. And then, I guess, Allie just had a kid. At some point, she's like, she made the ultimate sacrifice for our family. She had a daughter. It's like, you make it sound like she died. She's still there. I see her. And then, at some point, she's like, sort of, and this woman is maybe the worst public speaker I've ever seen. She was worse than the owner, who was the second worst public speaker I've ever seen.
Who, Vandersloot.
Vandersloot was not great, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was, like, started making, like, jokes that just sounded like sexual innuendo at some point about her life. Like, you know? Like, I don't even know what... I was like, it didn't seem like her because she seemed like she, like, was not a confident public speaker. So for her to start suddenly, like, you know, trying to do bits was a little strange. The whole thing sounded like they were winging it.
They were reading off their phone.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were reading, but it was just wild. And then one of the other notes I had about the announcers was at some point, someone threw a long pass, and they said, she's going for that baseball home run pass. Which is like, I you know, sometimes like you say like they're going for the home run, like going all the way, you know, if they're trying to like basically take it all at once.
Yeah.
But usually when someone does like, you know, a long like full court pass, it's like a touchdown pass. I think she sort of like mixed these metaphors halfway through a sentence. It was just like, yep, going for, but you don't throw passes in, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. She was just, the announcing was just like, and one of the things I realized was, and I think it's less common now because they said they were making more money. But they used to like play overseas during the off season. So these two ladies, Allie Quigley and Vandersloot,
yep,
would play in Russia And I guess they stopped after the invasion, after they invaded Ukraine.
What was the timing of Brittany Griner?
That was definitely during the Biden years.
I think that's probably got to be post-Ukraine.
No, was it? I think it was pre-Ukraine.
Okay.
I think it would have been, she was there for like a year, though. I think she was in jail for like a year.
Yeah, if I were a WNBA player, that's about the time I wouldn't go back to Russia.
I mean, apparently they got paid a lot more in Russia, which is so funny, because, like, there's a lot of stuff. But, like, it's just great that, like, Russia apparently was, like, really big on having, like, a good women's basketball league, that they were the ones paying the most. like, that was a big part of Russian stuff, was they wanted a women's basketball league. So, yeah. So, unfortunately, I think the production really, like, didn't do like a great job of selling, you know. And I imagine there's like a lot of, you know, like we said, a lot of new WNBA fans, and it's honestly easier to watch than, like, if you try to watch the NBA, sometimes it's just impossible. Like, you just cannot, you're like, I want to watch this game and I have NBA League Pass, but like, oh no, sorry, that's like NBA TV plus, and you're like, I think I have that too. They're like, you would think that, but you actually only have every Tuesday game, not every Thursday game. Like, can I buy that? They're like, no, absolutely not. And you're like, okay, well, fuck me. I guess I won't watch basketball. Like, I'm doing my best. I was like, I'm trying to pay for this basketball game. It's easier for me to go to, you know, I think there was one time, like, LeBron streamed himself, and he was watching them on NBA Streams Reddit, where he found, like, the pirated streams. And you're like, okay, fantastic. so, yeah. But in this game, so, my takeaways from the play.
What was the announcers, the broadcasters? Why did she keep saying extracurriculars?
Yeah. You know, this is common in NBA too, where like the announcers like have certain phrases and they just can't get off of them. So anytime there was like any kind of like, you know, after the play contact or just any kind of following, they were just like, a little extracurricular activity, like, you know, we heard you. You gotta like vary up, you know, your language a little bit. Otherwise, it just sounds like, why are you repeating that so much? Like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, no, they were rough. Okay.
Oh, and one thing, just I guess last thing we have time. Allie Quigley was the 2-time sixth player of the year.
It sounded like something weird like that.
Which is, it's funny because it's analogous to the NBA's sixth man of the year. But as we said in NBA, the NBA is actually not a like single gender league. I mean, it is in practice, but it isn't. So it's funny that the NBA has like a gendered award, but for some reason the WNBA decided to like degender it and make, rather than the sixth woman of the year, or like, I don't know, anything, they literally call it the sixth player of the year, which I don't know, just sounds, it just makes it sound like weird out of context. I was just like, it makes it sound like it's in like a progression of like, you know, the sixth best player. It's not clear that they're coming off the bench. I don't know why they're just called like the bench player of the year in like basketball too. In basketball, it's always like weird because a lot of times it's like someone who's like doesn't literally start the games but plays starter minutes. So it's not really like they like come off the bench, but like they play mostly with starters anyway. So it's a little weird thing. So yeah, that was basically all the halftime stuff I had. Oh, and then there was a lady doing speed painting, and she was like making, I assumed it was gonna be like a portrait of Quigley, but I don't remember what it actually ended up being.
I think it was, but the way they do those is they just paint them upside down and then flip them at the end, and you're supposed to like shit your pants.
They love doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had one, but at some point, and I think the like announcers got like half a page of notes for whatever reason, but they're like, and she's the first female speed painter.
That's what they said.
And I'm just like, is she like in the world? Like in the WNBA? Like in what context? Like
no other female has ever painted Quigley. That she's the first one.
That probably isn't true, right? It's not like women paint, like, and I assume some of them paint like do this speed painting, like. Because it's like a, not like it's not an artistic talent, but it's like sort of like a carnival trick type of thing, right? It's like sort of a specific thing. Like, you know, I remember in like middle school, there was some guy, and in like 30 seconds, you know, he paints a thing upside down and then flips it over and it's Abraham Lincoln. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, but it's not like, I mean, and that's obviously, yeah, artistic talent, but it's mostly like a trick. Like, it's like a potty trick. It's cool, but it's like, you know. Yeah. I assume there's like this woman who looked to be like middle aged. It didn't look like she was a young woman. Like, is she like a, she was the first one to ever do it? Like,
apparently.
Where would you verify that?
I don't know. Like,
you know,
how are we certain that Frida Kahlo never just like did one quickly, you know, just be like, oh, I'm going to challenge myself. Maybe I can get one done in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Like, is there like a registry of, like, it's not like she joined a speed painting league. It's like, you can just do this. It's like, how would you know? You know, like, if some lady had just been speed painting her whole life, like, in Portland, Oregon, it's not like the NBA double-checked with that before they hired this lady, right? Like, I don't know. My point was, the lady just, she said it in, like, so unconfidently, she's just like, she's the first woman to do this. And it's like, it was like, it was literally like she, like, had the first half of her sentence, like, she got it from the producers, and then she's like, was there a rest of this? Like, you know, and they just gave it. Like, I really feel like the announcers let the game down, but I feel like maybe the announcers were being let down by production, because, again, you know, the same thing with the, she scored over 10 points a game against Dallas. It's like, okay, how many did she score? It was over 10 against Dallas. No, I said that already. What the hell am I supposed to say next? Talk about how she does really well against Dallas and how she scored 10. It's like, that's the only fucking thing I've been saying. I keep repeating this. This is all I'm saying. You know? So, I don't know. Announcing is hard. It really is hard to talk like, continuously for hours. So, yeah. Right off the bat, what I noticed, I like, was it JJ? It's not, I want to say Quigley, but it's
Quinterly.
Quinterly, yeah. I was sort of mixing those two. She seemed at least active. She was like running around. I think she was the point guard.
Yep.
I think they said she had been in a bench role, but she was coming off the bench maybe.
I thought she was a rookie along with Paige Buckner. Paige Buckner was number one draft pick last year or this year.
And I think she's usually pretty good. But she sold them out pretty hard this game.
Yes.
She started off the game 3 for 5, I noticed at some point.
Yeah.
And when I looked at the box score at the end, she was 5 for 20. So 2 for 15 towards the end.
One of my early notes was, all right, Paige Buckner has some talent, because she would like dribble up and then, you know, pull back and you know, she was hitting some shots early on. JJ, never. I mean, she would just run under the hoop and throw it up.
Yeah, but she was very high energy. She was flying all over the place.
Yes.
And I liked that a lot. Yeah, she was really making it happen. And the Wings had 10 steals. Now, one thing that's interesting, if you would, and the other person I noticed was Lee Yuru.
Yeah.
Who is just she's a very tall woman from China.
Okay.
And she was just like, it was just like, okay, there are some people with size. I think she's 6'7", because JJ Quinoa?
Yeah.
She's very small. And I think Paige Buckner's, they said, was 6'1". But there's like a pretty big, like, so you see some of them and you're like, oh, these are small. Some of these people, like, you know, the average in the NBA, I think we said, was 6'8". So it's like, there's a big difference. And I think Angel Reese is the lead leaguer in rebounds, and she's 6'3". So, you know, there's a thing. So yeah, Quinley really, like, made an impression early. No one, I think Lee Kuro had maybe, like, the best game on the Wings.
Because for sure.
Just shot pretty efficiently, including from three. No one made I mean, they made 7 threes on 7 of 20, what, 6 was it?
And Lee was 4 of those?
She was 4 for 7, yeah.
Yeah.
She had 18 points, 10 rebounds. Just a pretty decent game overall. And yeah, unfortunately, the two guards who shot, you know, was it 8 for 35 combined, including 0 of 10 from 3, really dropped the ball there. I mean, one girl had, was it, Ajiha James had 8 points on 15 shots. Like, you can't do that. She's also a rookie. Is everyone a rookie?
I guess so. Is this a new team?
Because, oh, the other girl, the Luisa Guy Soder, is also a rookie? And Lee Aurora is only in her second season, so their entire starting lineup is rookies and one second-year girl?
Yeah, I guess. It did seem weird. I mean, it just felt like they didn't give the ball to the person that could score the best. And they just, I don't know why they kept allowing them to do things that clearly weren't working, as if they typically work. I don't know. It made me feel like it's just a numbers game. And they're like, well, I can have the most points if I'm just a ball hog the whole time. I don't really care if we win or lose, so long as I am the number one on the team.
Well, because Quinterly, who I was talking up, was also 5-for-14. So really, it was only Lee Yerua who shot even okay out of the starting line. I guess Louisa was 1-for-2, but it's like she only played 16 minutes.
The first time she shot I think she missed two of her first three threes.
Who is this?
Lee Yeru.
Okay.
And then I think the backhand, she was like, I don't know, 4-for-5 or something. But she was not good early on. I'm like, why are they letting their center shoot threes?
That's how it works. I mean, centers shoot threes now. Joel Embiid shoots threes. Jokic shoots threes. It just means that, like, they have to if the center pulls out. Because, like, you don't always want your center clogging the paint, because it makes it hard for your guards to drive. But if you pull out and they don't have to follow you to the three-point line, it means they just get an extra defender in the paint, which still makes it hard for you, you know, and it clogs up passing lanes. So you want your center to be able to shoot well enough, and that's why stretch fours in the NBA have been a thing for a long time, and now a lot of centers are shooting threes. Like, even Brook Lopez, at some point in his career, like a few years ago, I think in one season shot more threes than he had in like the 10 years, his 10 year career. Like, he just shot, you know, 200 threes in 1 year. You know, where a guy like Shaq probably shot 20 in his career. So it's changed quite a bit. You know, and yeah, I mean, she shot them well this game. I don't know if she usually shoots that many threes. You know, but she shoots 42% from three, it says. So it's better than she shoots overall, honestly, which is weird because she's very tall. So.
Yeah.
She should work on that.
And I think Paige, specifically, like, it says she was 5-for-20 and she didn't have many three attempts. She would literally just take a step into the three-point line and just, like, make sure that it was only a two-point shot for as long as possible. And it's
in
like...
In fairness, if you're going to miss some, it doesn't actually matter where you shoot them from.
Yeah, but it's like, how many did she take from that distance that only counted for two? I think she could have had 5 more points for her team. It would have made it competitive.
Yeah, you really don't want to take long twos that often. You know, so one thing I noticed, if you were to hear, like, the old joke about the WNBA was, like, that, you know, they don't, obviously, I think there's very few WNBA players who can dunk. I think there's only been a few dunks all time. So, you know, instead of, like, the athleticism, you know, they have good fundamentals, was what you always heard, right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it's the case at all.
This was a very chaotic, like, there were times where just the ball would get, like, stolen back and forth 5 times in 2 seconds. People would just, like, sort of toss the ball wildly, sort of because they, like, panicked. It seemed like the defenses weren't, like, set in doing, like, solid rotations. It was just sort of, like, people were running around. Like, I was surprised at the level of chaos.
It was so sloppy. Happening. Yeah, I mean, there were balls getting dribbled off of feet. There were passes, like, the one girl threw a pass to the other guard at the top of the key, and then just she got a pass back but wasn't ready for it, so it just, like, hit her in the side of the head and bounced out of bounds.
I mean, that can happen in any, you know what I mean? But, like... There was a lot of it that just felt like there was a level of sloppiness that felt like it wasn't what I was expecting exactly. You know, because I thought, like, okay, they can't jump as high, right? They don't have the same, like, you know, quite the same speed, but they are, like, you know, good athletes. It did seem like they struggled to get the same velocity on the ball, which just makes it a lot harder. Like, if one thing about NBA players that's interesting is they actually just have, like, enormous hands.
Yeah.
You know, they can just, like, hold the ball with one hand so easily, and have so much strength that they can pass without having to, like, their body can be in any position and they can pass the ball accurately. And I think with a lot of these girls, it wasn't the case that they could do that. So they have to, like, use their whole body for a pass, which meant if they're moving in one direction and trying to pass in a different direction, the ball ends up sort of, like, it's not as much accuracy on these passes.
And they just lob them.
And
hence
shots,
the 10 steals.
The shots, they sort of, like, jump into the shot a lot. Like, you know, in the NBA, right, they'll do jump shots, but usually want to, like, be moving straight up and down. It seemed like some of these, like, and which is interesting because I've seen that Caitlin Clark, actually on her threes, has, like, a longer average three-point distance than Steph Curry does. So, like, clearly, and I think she is a, you know, she's known for shooting three. So there's some people, I feel like there's, like, a huge delta in a lot of, like, the abilities here. But some of them just had a lot of, like, issues, I think, getting the velocity on the ball, you know, without having to use their full body, like, really throw it into them. And it, you know, makes it hard to, like, just get, like, a nice spot up and shoot.
Have you seen Steph Curry take, like, half-court shots where he just, like, dribbles it in front of him and then takes the ball from his waist and just throws it from there?
Yeah.
That's how these girls took all their shots.
You're talking about, like, sort of, like, the end of the quarter heaves type of thing.
Yes, that's how they would take threes.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, you know, if you ever, like, it is hard to, like, you know, throw a, like, you know, like, you know, it's hard to get, like, the velocity on. Oh, I think a lot of people struggle with it. It seemed like a lot of these girls just didn't have the, you know, a lot of shots that seemed to go short, or, like, honestly didn't make it all the way to the rim. Like, they'd be throwing up layups and it sort of just, like, not go high enough. So it seemed like, you know, there is, like, a big strength issue, which I guess is, like, part of the athleticism. But, like, I was sort of expecting, like, a more, like, sort of maybe slowed down, but, like, pretty fundamentally sound game. And that wasn't what I, like, it was a very chaotic sort of, like, the ball would bounce off of somebody and then just, like, have a series of just dives, which you do see in the NBA too, but I think, like, less common. And it's, you know, obvious, it's, like, much faster. And there was also, like, a lot of, like, I don't know if it's a speed thing, but things just look kind of, like, lazier. Like, you know, one of the things about the NBA is that the guys are so fast.
Yeah.
That, like, a lot of times you'll get them on the rotations because you can get them to, like, over-rotate. Because they're just moving so fast. But a lot of this looked kind of, like, lazy. Like, you just sort of, the people just, like, wouldn't move very much. And it was very, like, casual. Like, they didn't realize they were, like, the game was happening. Like, I don't know. you know, it was, like, sort of like they were in practice. And they were like, oh, I missed out. Okay, well. There were times where, I mean, you know, you say this in there, but, like, people just, like, wouldn't get, usually in the NBA, it's because they're whining to the refs, because they love whining at the refs. But, like, people just, like, wouldn't get back. There was, like, times where, like, and, you know, they'd score, and instead of getting back on defense, the girl with the ball would just dribble by them. They'd be like, oh, there she goes. Yeah, okay, I should. It's like when you're playing full court, you know, if you ever play, like, basketball, and, you know, usually, like, you play half court, but at some point, someone would be like, we should play full court. And you're like, oh, yeah, sure, okay, I'll run a little bit. Then, like, five possessions in, you're like, oh, this is why we don't do this, because, like, it's tiring. So you're just like, you know, you're just like, someone, it's just like fast breaks back and forth. That's like kind of what a lot of this was like, it seemed like people were just getting like, yeah, okay, I'll get her. She'll probably miss it. You know, she doesn't shoot that well. At some point, they were like, the announcer said, like, she's shooting over 40% on her career. I was like, that's bad though, right? Like, that's, I was like, do you mean from three? But they didn't specify.
Yeah, there was one steal that led to a fast break. But she didn't maintain possession of the ball and dribble, like, down the court. And I get it if there's nobody in front of you, but she just sort of, like, pushed the ball toward the other net and then ran and chased after it. But somebody else was faster on the other team. I think it might have been J.J. Quinterly. And she just, like, ran and got the ball. And it was just embarrassing. I think it was Elizabeth Williams.
Well, she brings a lot of skill in production.
The skill in production, yeah, need those.
I mean, that's, I think one of the things I liked about Quinterly is that she just, like, was always moving at full speed, which really stuck out, because it looked like everyone else was just kind of screwing around, and Quinterly, who is the smallest person on the court, was just, like, running in between them, And like, all we, like, even the rebounding, I think at some point she got, you know, a couple rebounds and they were just like, yeah, you know, all 5-6 of her or whatever. It's like, I guess she got one rebound the whole game. Maybe that was the one rebound I noticed, I guess. But it was just like, it looks like she's trying to get the rebounds. Like, the rest of them were just like, watch the ball, and be like, oh, there it goes. Like, I don't know. It was just like, the things you expect to, like, you know, I can definitely see people like, you know, like, they can't dunk. It's not going to be interesting, whatever. But, like, I think actually watching, like, lower-level sports, you know, in, like, the same way you'd watch, like, college basketball. Like, those, you know, obviously, like, the top-level college players are going to be in the NBA. And, you know, all the other guys are just never, you know, not nearly as good as NBA-level talent. But a lot of times it's, like, interesting to watch because it's, like, a little bit more chaotic and a little bit, you know, like, the, especially the skill differentials can be different. So you just see, like, people dominating in a way that's interesting, like, you know, because everyone in the NBA is so skilled. Yeah. This was, like, more, like, I don't know, the things I, like, expected to think, like, okay, you know, they just, like, the athleticism isn't there, but, like, the rest is. It seems like they, it wasn't, like, they, like I don't know about the, they said they were both first-year coaches. The coaching seemed like it could have used some work, like, it didn't seem like the, like, defensive schemes were all the way there, or, like, they were running an offense in, like, a real way. Like, they weren't getting set up. It was just, like, everyone just sort of playing hero ball at times. Like,
yeah. It was, I mean, just toward, like, halfway through the third quarter, yeah. I was familiar with the players, like, Quinterly, Yurlu. You know, like, the names that kept coming up, I was like, okay, who else is on the court? And are they just standing still? Like, why have I not heard their names? And I just, like, started paying attention. And you're right. They would just stand flat-footed in the corner waiting for the ball. And, like, the defender was happy to just stand right there. And there was no chance that the ball was ever going to come to these people. They're just, like, occupying space on the court. It could have just been a 3-on-3, and it would have been much more interesting.
Yeah, it's like if you play pickup and, like, you and the other big guy are there and you're like, hey, guys, let's take it easy for a couple of possessions. Like, you know, let's not, you know, because, like, if you play, like, you know, I think one of the things we talked about Steph Curry earlier, one of the things that, like, he's so famous for is off-the-ball movement, you know, running around, creating space, creating openings. Like, that's a big part of basketball. That's not a big part of my basketball game because I don't like running that much. So, you know, but it looked like, yeah, there was a lot of, like, standing around. It was, like, my feeling is, like, you know, obviously, listen, if you're not able to dunk, you're not able to be 6'8", which is, like, a big part of the NBA. Being really tall, there's this funny thing I saw about Muggsy Bogues,
yeah. Right?
Who I think was, what, 5'3"?
Yeah, something right? Small. Yep.
And he had, like, a very long, productive basketball career, despite being, like, a very short guy. Yeah, I think he's listed at 5'3". He played for 14 years, apparently, so a real Allie Quigley type career. And, you know, there was a tweet or something about him. It was like, how are you going to play in the NBA for 14 years when you're the same size as Natalie Portman? It's like, yeah, that's crazy. But, like, this guy was, like, incredibly talented and, like, did everything else that, like, his size couldn't account for, right? It's, like, really hard. In the NBA, it's really interesting. Like, there aren't any short guys anymore. Like, the big guys have gotten so much more skilled, you know, like the 3-point shooting, Jokic, you know, as like a point center, like Embiid, like can handle the ball. Like you don't have those big guys who like, you can't, like, I remember watching like the Celtics play years ago. And like some of the big guys would get the ball and you're just like, have you guys ever touched a basketball before? Like, are you like, it's like when I used to play lacrosse, I was so bad at cradling. And my job was mostly just to hit people, that the coach would be like, maybe you don't touch the ball. Maybe that's not what you're here for. And it seems like, you know, there was some NBA players that was like, you don't dribble. You stand and dunk. But now everyone's so skilled that, like, they don't need a short skilled guy because they can get a tall skilled guy. The short guys have to be incredible. And in this, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Rebecca Allen on the Sky had, like, she came off the bench. They talked about, like, coming off the bench a lot. It was, like, a weird, like, she also had blocks. I said she was really, had a great game. But she shot really well. She was 9-for-13. And they talked a lot about Camila Cardoza, who was playing, like, a classic, you know, big man, just backing people down.
Yeah.
And just sort of, like, being a big body and like using it, which you can do because it seems like there's not a lot of just like size. It's, you know, it seems like you can't just load up on size. I think they referenced the skyscrapers a couple times. I guess the Sky have, I think, two or more big players. I think one of them might have been injured. Maybe Cardozo was coming back from an injury.
Okay. Is Angel Reese the other Sky big skyscraper?
Is she a skyscraper? I don't know.
I think she plays forward.
She is a forward. She's only 6'3", though, so I didn't know if it was like, you know, there were some taller people who were the skyscrapers, and she was, you know, just a regular Sky basketball player.
Yeah. No, but I did notice, yeah, Camila Cardozo could back Lee Yarou down in the paint, which was good. I mean, she did that early on. I was like, I don't know why she was on the bench. Why isn't she a starter? And then the broadcasters at some point are just like, they do have a lot of bench points, which is good. But I guess that's what happens when you don't start your starters. And instead, you start these other people. And it's just like, are they just going for like, you know, eligibility for varsity? Like, is the coach just doing the bench guys a favor and be like, you can start this game, I don't give a shit, and then we'll put Camila in later?
I think they said she just came back from injury, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah. But you mentioned
she didn't play for the last 2 weeks, so maybe.
You mentioned the coaches. They're the only guys, other than the owner, involved in this whole thing, right? And I was concerned. Like, why would it be guys? Like, every other person is a woman. The people filming, the broadcasters, the announcers, like, everyone.
Well, one of the refs, I think, was a guy, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like a black guy and an Asian woman.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you think you could reasonably coach the WNBA?
Me, personally, I think I could coach any sport, any time.
Have you applied? We should look if they have any openings. Those other guys are just first years, so if it doesn't go well.
One guy was also wearing, like, just like a, not like a track suit, but just like, I don't know, like a, like track pants and then like a windbreaker sort of thing. And the other guy was wearing like jeans and a sweatshirt. It was, seemed like they just picked off guys off like out of the crowd. Like, hey, we have the fan coach a game content. It was like, who are these guys? Like, they don't even look like they're trying.
Is this a player's uncle?
Yeah, like, I guess in the NBA, is it more casual? I know in, like, football for a while, they would have them wear suits, and like, I feel like Belichick was always known for, like, wearing the stupid hoodie.
Yeah, with the torn-off sleeves. But in basketball, like, they just wear full suits, right? Same with hockey.
I can't even... What is an NBA coach?
I just think Phil Knight always wore a suit.
I always think of, like, Popovich, I think, wears a suit, and Doc Rivers. I guess they can wear... Sometimes they just wear, like... I guess sometimes they just wear, like, the fleece. And I guess, yeah, at some point they say they don't have to, because it looks like they just wear, like, a lot of them wear, like, the team jackets. But, yeah, I remember, like, the suit. I think, like, Phil Jackson wore the suit. Maybe they relaxed, like, the standards at some point, or, like, the dress code. Because they don't appear to be wearing, like, suits as much. But, yeah, these guys, like... They were like, oh, this is the coach. I was like, this guy? This random guy who's walking around? Like, does he know it? Did anyone tell him? You know? I think I could play coach whatever sport at a reasonable level.
I think you should apply.
Yeah, I don't know if they take in applications from, like, guys who can't play basketball themselves and, you know, have no
real qualifications. It didn't look like their coaches could play basketball.
It would be funny to, like, get the coaches on there. The court and just like see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder who these guys are. I mean, I think in, I don't know if he's still coaching, but the guy, I think he is. I think he was coaching up till recently. But Gino Auriemma was like a well known, I think for UConn, right? He was like a well known, women's, like, WNCAA? Is it NCAA women's? Whatever. Women's basketball in college.
Okay.
For UConn. And I think he was like one of the winningest coaches recently. He might have done I think Bukers, or is it Paige Bukers? What is it? I think she was at UConn, right? She might have played for him.
That sounds right.
There's I think there's male coaches in, you know, women's basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know. But honestly the production was bad. But the game itself, I don't think, was a bad watch.
Because
I kind of like the chaos of it. Also, as like a neutral fan who just like doesn't care about either of these teams because I didn't know anything about them, I think sometimes that's like more fun to watch because you just sort of like create the storylines within the game rather than like be like, oh, my favorite player, you know, Giannis is playing today. I want to see, oh, he missed a shot. Oh, that sucks. Like, you sort of like, there's so much like ringing in when you just watch some teams. You're like, oh, who's this guy? Like when I first watched it, it was like, oh, JJ Quinterly.
Quinterly
is just all over the place. Like, this is my new favorite player. You know? Like her. She's just running around doing crazy shit. Like, I like this.
Yeah. You know, nothing about the players. You just allow your opinions to be formed by watching them.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, this guy looks cool. I like this, you know?
Fun. I mean, I don't watch many sports, so that's generally my experience with all sporting events.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times, like, if you know the players, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, let's see what this guy can do. I mean, I knew Angel Reitz. I've heard of her. And I've heard of Bukers. But I don't think I'd heard of any of the other players. And these teams, like you said, were close to the bottom of the standings. So
yeah.
They were just, you know, it wasn't like they were, maybe they're fighting for, I actually have no idea how it works.
I think in my research, they were looking to get to like 18 teams by 2030. Okay. So maybe these two teams were recent additions to the
WWE. I think they were. I think the Wings are very recent.
And that's why all of them are new draft picks, because they just got like...
Was there an expansion draft or something?
I don't know.
But they
showed the draft at some point. And because they showed some player named Dominique Malonga, who went to the Seattle Storm, and they were like, they showed a video of her dunking, or they were like, she can dunk.
But it looks like the Wings have existed for a while.
Okay. But it's just like, if Dominique can dunk on the Seattle Storm, does that mean she's just like the Wilt Chamberlain of the WNBA? And she's just over there dominating every game? I didn't look into it, but... How is that not the case?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how easy. Like, there's a big difference between being able to dunk, like, hypothetically, and be able to dunk consistently in a game situation. Because, like, doing it on the run is a lot different than just, like, you know, doing it in general.
And not having to dribble no defenders, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you watch them, like, in... You know, NBA, right? Like, almost, like, I think Luka Doncic, like, I think they said over half his dunks were in his rookie season. And he's, like, 6'7", 6'8". You know, so he can dunk. I think Jokic, who is 7 feet tall, almost never dunks. Even though he's very tall and, you know, is obviously, like, right. I think if he puts his, a lot of these guys can almost dunk standing. Like, I think Wemby probably can dunk just standing. But, you know, it's a big difference, especially a lot of them, like, you'll see the dunks on, like, the fast breaks because there's no one in front of you. It's hard to dunk over somebody or around somebody just because it changes, like, your, you know, your launch spot. And, you know, if you have to, like, the crazy things about a lot of the, like, NBA players, even with the dunks or just the layups, is the adjustments they'll make while they're in the air. Like, you know, because they go up, there's a defender in front of them, and they go, like, around the guy or like under the hoop and over, like they're doing, you know, pretty impressive stuff, you know, in the brief time they're in the air. You know, and that's what makes it so interesting a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So just the ability to dunk isn't going to be enough to, like, you know, just like the fact that they physically, like, you know, I knew kids in high school that could dunk, but you know, they didn't dunk in games very much just because it's hard to get, you know, unless you, like, have a lot of, like, leeway, or, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of them could dunk in, like, the perfect condition where they can, you know, kind of freely run at the basket, jump from the spot they need to jump for, and, you know, slam it down. It's a lot harder if they're, like, you know, trying to play a game of basketball, you know, and also just dunk, you know, whatever.
Yeah, at some point, there were a few jump balls, but there was one jump ball in particular where literally one of the girls just sort of like took a step forward and forfeited the jump ball.
Yeah, that was weird, right?
But I don't know if I could trust the announcers, because I was wise to the fact that they were fucking clueless by this point. So I was like, I can't listen to what they said, because they said, oh, jump ball violation. But I wasn't sure if like she had committed a jump ball violation prior to the jump, or in so forfeiting, she just was just like, well, I've committed a jump ball violation. I don't give a shit, because I'll just walk through it. And that is the jump ball violation.
I think the jump ball violation was she like walked into the other girl, like as the other girl was landing, she like was kind of under her. She just like, because the girl who was supposed to jump and didn't just sort of started walking forward.
Yep.
And when the other girl landed, it was like on top of the girl. Like, yes. Not like knocked her down, but just sort of like landed, and the girl kind of, and so yeah, I didn't know if it was like, oh, she committed, yeah, like you said, she committed the violation and therefore it was like moot and that's why she didn't jump. Or was, oh, by not jumping in, I don't know, maybe you can't move forward.
Yes.
On your jump, you can't like jump at the other person.
I think so it was the second one. So she literally just chose for a jump ball to not even jump.
I mean, sometimes they don't like, you know, sometimes like in the NBA, they won't jump. Or they won't jump. I mean, like guys like Jokic, who just like really, like, I think he had like the third lowest vertical leap of any player. He just it really can't jump very high. But, you know, so, but they'll try to. Like, she didn't, this girl didn't even make an effort to get the ball. She, like, conceded. It wasn't, like, literally that she didn't jump. It was, like, she did not participate in the jump ball.
Yeah, and then got a jump ball violation as a result, and the other team just got possession. Like,
yeah, like they should
institute a rule. If that's common in the WNBA, like in baseball, whenever they were just like, okay, rather than throw four pitches if we want an intentional walk, we'll just let the manager signal, hey, we forfeit this one, you know? Like, we'll intentionally walk him. We don't want to do the jump ball, just give them possession.
Do they do that now in baseball? You can just, like...
Yeah, they changed it a few years ago. You don't have to make those four throws to the side.
Where the, like, catcher, like, takes three steps to the side and...
Yep.
Stands up. Okay.
So they completely bypass that now.
I mean, that's smart, because, like, you know.
Yeah, they should. I mean, it was a waste of time. They should do the same thing for this. Yeah. Like, if you're willing to forfeit the jump ball, just be like, okay, they can have it.
And we'll they just should take do the that next for one. The rest of a baseball game. We're talking about waste of time.
Yeah, there was another play where, I don't know, a girl was dribbling at the top of the key, and her teammate ran from the baseline up to the top of the key and was, like, using the girl dribbling as the screen. And the girl dribbling knew this was happening, and she, like, just sort of handed the ball off, but just, like, tossed the ball for her teammate to grab it. I think it was Quinterly who was actually grabbing it. And then set the screen perfectly, and the girl trailing Quinterly sort of just, like, ran into the screen and fucking got truck sticked onto the floor. And they were like, oh my god, how is that not a foul? Like, you gotta give me an opportunity to avoid the screen. And it's just like, that girl's feet were planted for 6 seconds prior to you running into her.
I don't remember that one.
There was a coach's challenge and everything. They were like, this is definitely going to get overturned. And then they got the call back, and it was like, no, you just sort of fucking ran into her. And the broadcasters are like, oh, yeah, that's egregious. She shouldn't have been standing there like that, setting a perfect screen. She should have been, like, letting her get by. And it's just like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? Are all of you delusional? Are all of you fucking idiots? So the refs came back and they were like, no, yeah, that's a fucking a defensive foul. You know, so just like give the ball back to these motherfuckers. One other thing, there was a foul called, I think it was defense spending too much time in the paint. Did you catch that?
No, but you're not. Yeah, I mean, that's in same in the NBA, right?
It was a 3 second violation. Is that the same in the NBA?
Yeah.
Defensive. So, I guess in my organized basketball days, you could just live in the paint if you're on defense.
Yeah,
it's only an offensive violation.
I think maybe in college you can do that. Oh, is it offense? I think if your man is not in the paint on defense, you can't be in the paint for more than 3 seconds.
Yeah, but they allegedly called it, and this is the first, you know, inclination that the broadcasters had no fucking clue what was happening. Because they called it on Lee Yeru, trying to guard Camilla Cardosa. And she was only in the paint for, like, I don't know, a second, if that, while Camilla Cardosa was running through the paint. But yeah, it led to a technical foul. Is that the same in the NBA?
Yeah, I think so.
That's outrageous. That's such a stupid rule. The defense should be allowed in the paint 100% of the time.
Well, I think they don't want just a tall guy camping in the paint. Because they want people to be able to drive and do stuff.
I mean, I think if there's an offender or an offense guy, you know, standing next to the paint, the defender should be able to have a foot in the paint regardless.
So they can be there if they're guarding somebody, if they're within arm's length of an opponent. But they can't just, like, you can't just put your tallest person and have them sit in the paint the whole time.
How would that benefit a defense? Just like you're number one for rebounds? You're going to get the rebound?
Because no one could, I mean, the idea is that, like, it would be very difficult if you had someone always in the paint to contest every shot that didn't have to move. It would be difficult for them to drive ever. Like, you never get any drives.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, so Rebecca Allen had a great game. There was one where she had a shot clock violation, which was so close. I thought she had it real time, but then they played it back, and she did not. But the backboard didn't light up red as soon as the shot clock went to zero. There was, like, no indication that the shot clock was out as they're doing this replay, other than the clock going to zero itself. So I thought, you know, that's just another element of the production sucking ass. They could have just... I don't know why they don't have the same technology in the WNBA versus the NBA.
Yeah, because it's, like, the same... I mean, it's a basketball arena.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so they should just, they should have them. It should be the same.
They weren't, like, playing at the park.
Yeah. It's the same hoop, yeah. I liked that at the end of the game, there was, like, 2 minutes left. And in college ball, they do this, you know, foul to try to hope you miss the free throws, and then they'll get field goals.
That's the worst part about that. I complain to producer Braden all the time. It just makes it so, like, the part that should be the most exciting part of the game is watching guys stand there and shoot free throws, which is the most boring part of a basketball game.
Yeah, and it makes it, like, in college, at least for March Madness, they start at, like, 4 minutes left, and it makes that final 4 minutes of the game take 25 fucking minutes, and it's just terrible.
It's a slog.
So I was appreciative that despite the score being somewhat close, like, I mean, they were, what, 7 points to 10 points away? And the, Lee Yeru was hitting some threes at the end there, but she was just being responded by Beck Allen, who was draining as many threes on the other side. Yeah, at the end, when there was like a minute left or 2 minutes left, they were just like, okay, we'll just fucking concede, you know? We won't do that stupid fucking game.
Yeah, which I think is good, you know?
I agree.
Keeps it tight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think overall, not a bad experience. Did find some of the, like, quality of play to be a little bit disappointing. In the production, a little disappointing. But I thought it was sort of fun. It was sort of a little chaotic. I think it's one of those things that if, like, got more, not like more popular, but, like, more professional, like, if it, like, got, I think, like, the NBA presentation gets a little, like, bloated. If it, like, became to the point where it got, like, so bloated, I think it would be worse. But I think the fact that it's sort of, like, a little scrappy makes it fun. So, I don't know. That's sort of what I was thinking. Watching it.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your rating?
I'd say, like, a soft aunt, I guess. Right? Okay. That'd be like the analog. Yeah, I don't know. It was fun. Like, it, I like, you know, I like watching sports just like in general, just like having a thing on that's not baseball. You know, watching non-baseball sports. I guess just watching sports is what I mean. And I...
Shots fired.
Yeah, I don't like baseball. I don't think it's a worthwhile activity.
It seems you don't think it's a sport.
I don't think it is. If you can play it in a button down, I mean, how could it be? if your uniform would be, like, you know, inappropriately casual for casual Fridays, don't you think that's a little bit ridiculous? you know, if they'd be like, why are you so dressed up? You're in, you know, wear some jeans. I'd be like, no. I gotta wear my button down to work at the baseball game. You know, I mean, the baseball players are dressed more casually than these coaches were. I mean, you know, more formally than the coaches are, you know? It's crazy. Also, one thing that was interesting, the uniforms, they kind of, like, they, like, some of them had, like, short shorts, some of them, like, there were all kinds of, like, different, I don't know, like, what, because I think, like, short shorts in the NBA sort of, like, phased out, and now they sort of have longer. Some of these girls had, like, regular NBA shorts, some of them had, like, pretty short shorts, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of variation. I think a lot of the NBA guys, too, have shirts under their jerseys. A lot of these girls, too, I guess. You could sort of think that'd be, like, even more common. And then there was also, like, a fashion. At some point I was watching, and they did, like, and they do this in the NBA sometimes, where they, like, talk about the pregame fits a lot, which is, like, not a thing. I'm not, like, a fashion guy, so. But in this one, it was, like, you know, some girls were just, like, ready to play. They'd walk in their, like, hoodie and, you know, with their backpack. And then some girl, like, they were just doing, like, runway model stuff where, like, the girl was wearing, like, what are they, like, feather boas? She was wearing, like, what looked like almost a bikini, but it was, like, you know, that, like, fluffy, like, boa-y material. You know what I mean? Like, a feather boa thing?
Yeah.
So it was, like, she just had, like, I don't know, like a wrap of some kind of, like, a stuffed animal wrapped around her chest and her waist, and that was, like, the whole thing. So there were just a lot of, and then, so, you know, some of them wearing, like, just, like, suits and stuff. They do a lot of, like, fashion stuff, which I guess makes sense. I mean, I think CoverGirl was, like, a one of the court sponsors. So, you know,
yeah.
a lot of different stuff going on. I don't know, overall, but they're pretty interesting. I think it was, like, I wonder if it's one of those things where if I, like, watched it more, like, the novelty would wear off, and I'd be like, oh, this is kind of boring. And, like, I know these players, so, like, the appeal of just being, like, you know, whatever crazy thing is happening is exciting. I mean, one of the things about March Madness that I think is so appealing, right, is that it's, like, a storyline so compressed, and you're just watching, like, a team throughout that tournament. And, you know, you can, if you watch all of March Madness, you just watch, like, you know, a bunch of different games, but it's, like, a bunch of different teams, and it's sort of, like, everything is just, like, a new set of people, and you're sort of, like, getting into it.
Yeah.
It's, like, sort of an anthology, you know? Whereas this, if you, like, watch the same characters every time, you might just be like, oh, my God, she's always doing that. Always, you know, shooting those weird layups, like, she's gonna, you know, and then you'd be like, oh, my God. Like, you just get frustrated. So, I don't know. But, yeah. I'll probably watch some more games. It was fun.
I mean, it sounds like you'd go to a game.
I always say I would definitely. There's not one near me. I actually don't think there's one near you, right? I think they are expanding, but somehow they managed to knock in either of our cities.
Yeah, I think I'd go to one in person with the right crew. Wouldn't be my idea, but I would accompany. I don't think I would watch another one. You know, I don't watch much sports as it is, so.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to seek it out, but, like, I can imagine, like, if someone put it on, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God. I would be like, yeah, that's a game.
Yeah.
Because there's what? Connecticut, Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago, Vegas, Washington, Indiana, Golden State, Seattle, Atlanta, New York, Phoenix, and Minnesota. So, like, New York or Connecticut is probably the closest to me. There's no, like, Ohio. There's no Pennsylvania. Right? Indiana, I guess, is maybe close. Indiana, yep. Or Chicago?
I guess, see, yeah.
The skyscrapers?
Yeah.
Connecticut Sun are 3-16 this year with
yikes.
A -16 point differential. So they seem bad. That'd be an interesting one to see. Like, they seem to be really struggling.
Yeah. I think I'd give it a solid niece. I was lied to.
That's a negative review, it sounds like.
Yes. I feel like I was lied to. I too, wanted the fundamentals to be better. And then whenever it was just so sloppy, it was comical. Like, it was comically bad. And that was disappointing to me. but you know, toward the end, it's like they hit their groove. It's like they didn't do they just walked out and started playing, and they didn't do the warm up. And had they done the warm up, then they would have gotten all that like first quarter rust out of the way, and maybe I wouldn't have started with a sour taste in my mouth. Because you know, they did have some fun stuff to it. Like I got to give them credit for that. They did have some plays and some crafty passes, but it was interspersed with like embarrassing shit. And yeah.
So
overall,
what I'll say is, and this might, you know, be offensive to some people, but like one of the things I liked about the arena football thing was that it like sort of leaned into being goofy and like a little bit unserious. And I don't think that's what like the WNBA is trying to do, right? I think it's meant to be like just a female counterpart to the NBA.
Yep.
But I think it'd be like cooler or more interesting if it was like less serious. You know, if it was just like zanier and they like sort of did their own thing more than just being a, you know, like a lower talent level version of the NBA.
So like the Savannah Bananas are to baseball, you think the WNBA should be
that's
to
like
basketball?
That's like a Globetrotter thing, right?
Oh, maybe, yeah. But like, is that sort of zaniness?
No, I think like not quite. Like they're playing basketball, but more like, I don't know, like leaning into the like the fun part, like of the mostly changing the broadcast, right? Of just like making it more of like a fun, goofy thing. I mean, again, they're not trying to like make it. They're not trying to like undermine the players in that way. And I'm not saying they should. But like, I don't know. Just like do like one of the things that like annoyed me was how long everything took, and like they spent so long on like the coach's challenge or whatever. I remember like sitting there, I was like, how is this still happening? Like, what the hell are we? And like that's like the worst part about like watching any kind of sports at this point is everything feels like it takes so goddamn long. Like. What the, like, of, you know, like, the non-interesting stuff. Like, you know, not the game, but, like, you're watching, like, a commercial for 20 minutes. You're like, what the hell is happening? In this one, I watched the halftime show, which I think normally, like, you know, Braden sometimes watches the local broadcast, so he'll see the halftime show of whatever they're doing in the, like, arena, the Dallas arena. But I don't usually see that. I'll usually see, but, you know, this like halftime show took forever. I don't know. I would like them to be like, it'd be interesting to see them say like, listen, the part of, you know, the product that's going to be weaker is like literally the level of play is going to be lower, right? Like we just don't have the athleticism, you know, of the NBA's product.
Yeah.
So like, what can I do that's different? Like, what is the NBA doing? In what way are they sort of like an incumbent that is like a little, like they can't innovate as well. You know, they have like these pre-existing commitments. Like they're too big to like radically change in some ways. What could they do differently? And I think what I'd like to see is like, you know, could they make the game like a little faster? Could they make some parts like hum along different? Like, I don't know. What could they do with the broadcast that's like more fun? Like the broadcast was like, I feel like for when I was watching, there were very few things that popped up at all, like to give stats,
or yeah,
like facts of the game. It was really just like a very minimalist thing with two announcers. I didn't think were doing a great job. Maybe like innovate in that way. I would be more interested in seeing.
In addition, like it took me a while because I didn't know what team was which. There was a light team and a dark team, and that was flipped from what the scoreboard overlay on the screen was.
Right. So the overlay on the screen is like a dark blue who was the Wings and a lighter blue that's the Sky. But the Wings were wearing their white jerseys and the Sky yeah, was wearing dark blue jerseys. Yeah, that was needlessly confusing. I mean, they do that in the NBA sometimes too. They just have like really weird colors for some reason. I mean, the NBA, honestly, they have like, they're trying to sell you so many goofy jerseys. I actually feel like there's a level of defensiveness sometimes with this stuff, you know? that are, like, where they want to be, like, they're sort of afraid of being goofy at all, because they think it's going to, like, be ammunition for people who don't take it seriously. But it's like, I don't think sports, like, has to be really serious. I think, honestly, sports is, like, overly serious sometimes. Or they'll talk about, like, a guy, like, playing for a team and being like, oh, the level of loyalty, he's a real warrior out there. It's like, I mean, he got paid millions of dollars and, like, I know, I guess he played through injuries, but I've showed up to work when I, you know, had a migraine one day and, like, I don't know if people are referring to me as, like, a true warrior type of thing. So, like, let's calm down a little bit. So, like, I think, I don't know, I would just, like, lean into the fun of it more, because, like, sports is, like, fun, you know, and, like, the goofiness. I think, like, there's a defensive posture that the WNBA has still, and, like, it's understandable, because it's not something that a lot of people take seriously, and I think it's, like, the tides are sort of turning with, you know, its increased popularity recently, and I think maybe they're just, you know, riding that, and, you know, it seems like other people do like it more, so, I mean, they should just keep doing what they're doing.
But if either of these teams, or if the production were more like the Flint Tropics of semi-pro, do you think that would be better or worse?
That seemed more like an arena football, right? They would do, like, because he, like, what, fought a bear at halftime or whatever, right? Like, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I know we watched that. I don't remember it quite that well.
So not that.
Yeah, no, not that it has to be, like, a joke, but just, like, I don't know, let's make it fun. Like, sports are fun. Like, I don't know, maybe this would have been better advice years ago when it, like, wasn't. Boy, I thought it was great in arena football how, like, that was, like, very zany. And they, like, knew that people were watching this for, like, the first time and were going to be like, what the hell is happening? And they would, like, literally explain to you what was happening and being like, I don't know, it was, like, it was not like a WWE thing, but it was, like, it was all about just, like, hype stuff. Whereas, like, if you go to a regular sports game, it's, like, sort of, like, hyping up the crowd, but it's also, like, you're expected to, like, have known basketball and, like, take the legacy of the, like, you know, Los Angeles Lakers, like, super seriously, and what a story. It's like, come on, guys, like, what are we doing? You know? It's like, no one takes themselves more seriously than the entertainment industry. So, it's just like, let's calm down. And I don't know. I just think it'd be cool to, like, I like watching, like, you know, we have, like, a, you know, obviously we have, like, a pro hockey team near us, but we also have, like, a, and I don't know what it, like, minor leagues or double A, whatever the hell it is, right? And those ones just seem like a lot more fun. Like, they're just, it's less about, like, there's no, like, consequence to it, it feels like, and there's more, like, I don't know, it's just, like, it's supposed to be, like, a fun, like, the entertainment value of it is, like, the point, and sort of, like, the thing, it's, like, this is a fun thing to do for the night is, like, the point, versus, like, this is the highest level of competition of fucking throwing a ball in a hoop or, you know, skating around a ring of, it's like, who the fuck cares? Like, it's a sport. Like, who cares? I don't know. So, I don't know. That was my opinion. But I liked it, though. I had a good time.
Yeah. All right, well, what do we got next?
Next, I think, I mean, eventually we're doing Crossroads. We keep hinting, oh, we have, actually my special episode, like the Monica's Choice episode that's coming up, that's sort of going to be a deviation from our regular format.
Okay.
And that should be a fun little detour, I think.
I guess, yeah.
Guess? What do you mean you guess?
I have no information about it, so, yeah.
No, no, but you sound so skeptical. You know, like, wow, that sounds fun. You're kind of like, maybe.
It sounds whimsical.
I don't know, yeah.
You know, but, you know, I'm a fan of structure. I like planning. I like knowing things. Mm-hmm. So this will be hopefully fun. You know?
Yeah, hopefully. You'll know right. When you're doing it, yeah.
All right, well, is that all we got?
Yeah, you want to take us out?
Yeah, fwe.